What up, everybody? Welcome into Locked On Warriors. I'm your host, Charles T. Hamilton. The Dubs lose a heartbreaker last night. Deadline day, 24 hours away. Kevin Durant, resting, load management, all that coming up next here on Locked On Warriors on the Locked On Podcast Network.
You are Locked On Warriors, your daily Golden State Warriors podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
What up, everybody? Welcome into Locked On Warriors. I am your host, Charles T. Hamilton. What's good? Warriors lose a heartbreaker last night. Calling it a heartbreaker almost gives them too much credit, because that was some pathetic basketball in the first 24 minutes. Pathetic. Like, I'm upset. I'm upset right now. They just were not ready to play. I brought up the Miami flu before, that the city of Miami's undefeated, similar to LA or New York or wherever, has a great nightlife. And we saw it initially in the first half, but I mean, no excuse, man. I like Josh Richardson. He's a good player, but for some reason, he looks like first team all NBA every time he plays the Warriors. Dwayne Wade, all time great, but he's also like 100 and should not be putting up 25 against a team like the Warriors. We're also 21 games away from the playoffs starting, like 2 months away. And the Warriors couldn't be less interested in basketball right now. It's upsetting. It's upsetting to watch. I think Anthony Slater nailed it. He tweeted out last night, "The Warriors have cared for about 13 minutes of game time since they returned from the All-Star break, and none of those minutes were in the first half of that Heat game." Now, they fought. They fought. Clay fought. And I'll get to Clay in a little bit, because he had one of his best games of the year and pretty much carried the team. But I got to go through some of just the terrible, terrible play in that first half. So to start the game, within the first 60 seconds, both Steph and Draymond pick up fouls in the first 60 seconds. Kevon Looney picks up a foul at 67 seconds. They had 4 fouls in the first 3 minutes and 2 seconds, 5 fouls in the first 3:51, 6 fouls in the first 4:27. You can talk about the refs having a heavy whistle. You have to adapt. You have to know that this is what the Heat do and what they want to do. They were the more aggressive team. And I'm sorry, complaining about officiating doesn't cut it, you guys. They played poorly. They played poorly. Miami was more aggressive. They were getting the calls. They were also fouling, you know? KD was taking just bad shots. He was jacking from three. I mean, it was as if they had the the Houston Rockets game plan of either threes or layups, because that's all he was shooting. 7 fouls in 9 minutes and 51 seconds. 8 fouls in 10 minutes and 48 seconds. 8 fouls in the first quarter. That's ridiculous. Especially considering you had 6 fouls in the first 4.5 minutes. I'm not complaining about officiating. I saw fans doing it online. It wasn't the official's fault, man. The Warriors played terrible basketball last night, and it showed. In the second, they were down 15. Early in the second, Quinn Cook came in. He had a couple of nice shots. There were a couple of good things outside of Clay last night that I'll get to. Quinn was one of them. I mean, you guys let me know if I'm wrong, but I don't think the Warriors have made a single hustle play or gotten to a 50-50 ball since they've come back from the All-Star break. I don't remember it. Throwing up awful threes, like I mentioned, it was just ugly. It was bad basketball. Outside of Klay Thompson, it was really bad basketball. Klay, in the second quarter, goes off. He has 18 in the second quarter, 8 of 9 from the field, 2 of 3 from 3. He carried this team. He was the only one who showed up. Draymond kept fouling. KD kept shooting threes. Steph kept shooting threes, and nothing was going down. In the final box score, Steph was 9 of 20 from the field, 4 of 14 from 3. So if you do the math, that means he went 5 of 6 from inside the arc. Maybe you take a couple more of those. Maybe you don't take 14 threes. KD, same thing, 9 of 21 from the field, 3 of 12 from 3. That means he went 6 of 9 from inside the arc. Maybe you take some of those. It was just ugly. It was a terrible game. I'm not even really going to get into the second half. Yeah, Klay went off, and it was beautiful. He had a stretch where he scored 7 straight to get the lead for the Warriors, actually. They fought back from a 24-point deficit, and Klay was the main reason why. He was 7 of 15 from 3. Like I said, the 7-point stretch was great. Knocks down a 3, and then knocks down another 3 and gets the and one. And he carried the team to a potential win. But I think we all know what happened at the end. Warriors started playing better defense. They started locking in. Now, the one thing that I will say is if that 24-point deficit and better second half means that they've locked in for the future, for their next games, great. I'll take it. I'll take that terrible half of basketball. But if they come out and continue to do the same stuff, the same I don't care kind of basketball, man, I'm not going to be able to do anything about it. I'll just be upset. that's always my thing. I'll always, you know, if they continue to do this, I am going to not be able to do anything about it. And that's usually the case. But hopefully this has kind of knocked them straight, got them going. Obviously the Warriors battled back, and the second half was good. I'm not going to get into too much of the second half because bottom line is they lost. And the first half to me is what really matters. Sorry I'm going negative today, guys, but last night was a negative. They do fight back, play better defense in the second half, and especially late in the third and fourth quarter. They go from down 15 to down 8 going into the fourth, and then outscored them by 7 in the fourth, but as we all know how it ended, I'll start with Kevin Durant because he had an opportunity to put the game away. They're up 1. I think Kelly Olynyk misses a 3. We get the rebound, kick it to KD. He takes the foul, going to the line to shoot 2, and he splits the free throw, so the Warriors are only up 1, or up 2, excuse me. And that left the door open for Dwayne Wade. And, you know, I'll give KD and Jordan Bell credit too because they played good defense on that play. They both got a hand on the ball. Dwayne Wade was just able to recover and throw up a prayer that banked in. So, I mean, I give them credit for the end of the game. They played well, but it was too little too late. It was an absolute prayer. Probably shouldn't have even, I mean, there shouldn't have been a shot. Both KD and Jordan Bell got a hand on the ball. Too bad they couldn't swipe it away. It left him an opportunity to throw up just a prayer shot. Went in. It happens. Kind of, you know, don't mind the fact that it was Dwayne Wade. Makes it hurt a little less because he is a legend on his retirement tour and all that stuff. Still sucks, but, you know, better than Dion Waiters hitting it like he did a couple years ago. Going to take a quick break, come back, talk about some of the positives, because there were some positives. Also going to talk about tonight's game against Orlando. That's coming up next here on Locked On Warriors on the Locked On Podcast Network. What up, everybody? Welcome back to Locked On Warriors. Charles T. Hamilton, what's happening? Just talked about the game last night against the Heat. It was pretty terrible. Not a lot of good things to say about it, but there are a few good things I can say. The first is Klay Thompson had maybe his best game of the year outside of, you know, when he goes historic and breaks records and stuff like that. Had 21 in the first half, pretty much carried the team throughout the first half and third quarter, really. Ends up with 36 and goes 7 of 15 from 3, which now officially for the first time in this 2018-2019 NBA season puts him at 40% from three. Only expected to climb up higher, but it's been a battle because of that rough start he had. So good for Klay getting up to 40%. As I've said, his worst career mark from three for an entire season is 40.4%. So good to see him get back to his worst career mark. But no, I expect him to continue to play better, and that'll climb up to probably 42, 43 by the end of the season, because that's pretty much where his home is. That's right around his career average, 43. Quinn Cook got some run last night, and he put in some good minutes. You know, he wasn't awesome. He didn't carry the team or anything, but when they were down 15, he came in, had a quick six, and was working to do whatever he could to help, man. And they needed all the help they could get last night. He had 8 in 11 minutes, was 4 of 6 from the field, 0 of 1 from 3, which is too bad. I'd like to see that 3 start falling for him a little more, but, you know, he gets so little playing time that's got to affect your ability to knock down shots. He also had a nice offensive rebound and putback last night, which is good to see. You know, get involved everywhere, man. And the other one is Jordan Bell. Jordan Bell had probably his best game of the year, I'd say. He only 2 of 5 from the field, not great, but he did get to the line 10 times and was 6 of 10 from the free throw line. Had 6 rebounds, 2 offensive, 2 assists, 10 points overall. He was good. He was damn good. Also had a block shot in there too. But what I want to bring up is late in the game, he made a huge play. I forget who missed the shot for Miami, but he comes flying in, grabs the rebound, gets fouled. I think the Warriors are up 2 at that point, and this was under a minute left, I believe. Goes in, knocks down both free throws, just calm, cool, no problem to put him up 4. I know with the loss, it doesn't matter as much, but to see that from a young guy who has struggled all year, struggled to find the court, it was good to see. And it was good to see him play well and get minutes and play with energy. He was asked about his performance after the game. Here's what he had to say.
He's playing hard. Steve talked to me after All-Star break, and he told me I played really well against the Blazers game before break. And he told me, like, just playing hard like that, that's going to give me more minutes on the team. And he always talks to me about it. I know it's hard for me not to be on this team, not play after last year. So just stick with it, keep working. I'll keep playing hard. Good things going to happen.
Do you feel like you're gaining some traction?
Yeah, definitely. I think the last couple games, Houston, and then this last couple games, I feel like I've been kind of getting the rhythm back, kind of figuring out, just play hard, good things happen.
How do those free throws feel?
I was just singing the song the whole time. I was singing this Biggie song.
What song?
I was just saying me and my the whole time. That's why that song, I was just saying that the whole time. Shoot it. Yeah.
How about the
So there's Jordan Bell on the free throws that he knocked down late in the game. His energy, what song he sings to himself. That's a tactic straight out of the movie Hardball. Shout out Keanu and Baby G. But he played well. And it's probably an unfair comparison, but I look at guys like Montrezl Harrell and Kenneth Faried, and I wonder why Jordan Bell can't play in a similar way. And we're starting to see that a little bit more. Just all-out effort. Just go. And use your athleticism and strength. I know he's not as big as the other two. Might not be as strong. You know, I don't want to discount Harrell and Farid's skill or anything, but I think he can be a similar player. So it's good to see him get the minutes that he can and, you know, play well while getting them, because it's been a tough second season for him. As far as the first half goes, it was ugly. It was terrible. KD was asked about it and tried to come up with a solution. Here's what he had to say.
I think I got to be better setting the tone, especially scoring a basketball, you know, just being aggressive downhill, creating stuff, and, you know, maybe get to the free throw line a little earlier to slow the game down a bit just to fill us out. So I just think I need to be aggressive, and I think everybody feeds off of that. So, you know, I got to be better starting games.
What jolted you guys to life in the second half?
I mean, just being down that much, you know, and we just wanted to win, want to lose about 25 points. And, you know, so guys' pride just stepped up after that second half. We was able to make shots. Klay kept us in the game. he was tremendous for us all night. That's why I wish we would have got the W for him.
You know, the teams are
going to
come out with the best game, you know, eight game. How are you just slowing down, kind of getting
improved
on the
whole
box so far?
I think teams are coming out just relaxed against us. They have nothing to lose, especially a young team like this. So when you play a little bit more relaxed, those jump shots start to fall. You just, you know, let your head out a bit and you just play. And tonight, you're seeing that with this young group. You know, they came out with a lot of energy, fed off their crowd, and it kind of started off really fast. And I think for us, I think we have to start games with a little bit more intensity, just a little bit more, not passion, but just energy, kind of bust the game open early in the game. You know, I think we're easing our way into it, trying to see how teams are going to play us, but I think we got to put our foot on the gas early.
So KD brings up setting the tone, being aggressive. And I mentioned that with the Heat before when they were getting to the line so much and getting all the calls against the Warriors because they were the more aggressive team. They were going to the hoop. And that was part of it. And the Warriors were settling for threes. Kevin Durant was settling for threes. So was Steph. And as soon as KD and Steph started driving to the hole, they started getting calls, started being aggressive. So I hope that's something that we see more of. I hope he means it when he says it. Because it was ugly first half. And he is the best, most capable driver, I guess, getting to the hole, getting to the line, especially when you're getting your asses kicked. He needs to do more of that to try and kind of slow the game down, get some free points, basically, and get to the line. So hopefully we'll see more of that. Steve Kerr was asked about the game winner and just the game overall. Here's what Steve had to say.
Shot. I knew it was going in as soon as it left his hands. It's like that thing's like the perfect distance long to bank in, you know. And I guess it's fitting, you know, his last season and this kind of game for him to finish it the way he did was incredible. But phenomenal basketball game. We just couldn't quite pull it out.
Why do you think you guys finally did find some life?
I don't know. We just didn't have the energy and juice in the first half that we needed. But we found it in the second half, and our guys were really competing. And a lot of guys gave us lifts off the bench. Jonas and Quinn, JB played really well. Obviously, Clay had a big night. I mean, there were a lot of things after that first 20 minutes that were really positive. But sometimes maybe the gods shined on us that way for the way we played those first 20 minutes and just wasn't meant to be.
Did he kind of take away from Dwayne's career?
His career, he's pretty good. Pretty good player. So he's had a lot of moments, a lot of incredible moments. And I'm sure if you asked him, this would probably be right up there. You know, this kind of game and, at home and hitting, I think he scored their last 8 points, if I'm not mistaken, and 2 threes in the last final, whatever it was. So he was amazing. But he's a Hall of Famer for a reason.
So there's Steve heaping praise on Dwayne Wade and some of the guys coming off the bench playing well. Like I mentioned, Quinn, Jordan Bell, Jonas had some nice moments as well. This game reminds me of the game, I think it was 2012, maybe it was 13, who knows. I think it was Draymond's rookie year when the LeBron, D-Wade, Chris Bosh Heat were in full force killing teams, and the Warriors end up beating them in Miami. I think it was in Miami with a last-second cut from Draymond wide open under the basket, lays it in, Warriors get the win. Reminds me of that. Reminds me of a little payback. I mean, different circumstances, obviously, but, Warriors are the juggernaut now and lose to a lesser Heat team. So we're going to flush this one, forget it, move on, take a break, come back and talk about tonight's game, or this afternoon's game, really, against the Orlando Magic. That's coming up next here on Locked On Warriors on the Locked On Podcast Network. What up, everybody? Welcome back to Locked On Warriors. Just finished talking about the Heat game. Hopefully that's the last time I'll have to talk about a game like that because it was terrible. It was bad. But moving on, tonight they are taking on the Orlando Magic, who, even though overall record-wise aren't great, they are playing well recently. They're 28-34, and have won 8 of their last 11. They're a team with a lot of talent. I like what they have. I like some of their players. I like Aaron Gordon. I like Mo Bamba. Jonathan Isaac is intriguing to me. Markelle Fultz is intriguing. I know he hasn't played yet, but I'm very interested to see what they get from him when he does play, because he was the number one overall pick for a reason, and it did not work out in Philly. Is he a lost cause, or does he find something in Orlando? Doubt we'll see him play this year, but still interested when he does. KD for the Warriors will be resting tonight, getting his load managed. Got to manage the load. So no KD tonight. And who knows if it had anything to do with it last night, but he wasn't great to start. So maybe that was some sluggishness. I wouldn't be surprised if we see Steph get a game coming up soon. Same with Draymond. Klay probably also. But, you know, Klay will fight it tooth and nail. But I'm sure we'll start to see guys get games here or there moving forward as they get ready for the playoff push. What I'm interested to see is, can they avoid what happened yesterday? Was that a slap in the face to kind of wake them up? Or will they come out kind of sluggish and, you know, just wanting to get it over with to get back home? Who knows? One of the matchups, Boogie's back tonight, and I'm interested to see the Vucevic-Boogie matchup. Vucevic, he's an all-star, man. He was an all-star this year. You can roll your eyes at it or whatever. He's having one hell of a year, averaging 20 and 12. He's playing really well. So to see him go up against Boogie will be interesting. He's not much of a defender, so maybe it'll just be another Zeller cousin situation where they both go off. But that's the main thing I'm looking for, and that's the main thing we're looking for moving forward, obviously, is just the crispness of this team. You know, are they getting into playoff mode, and then how does Boogie continue to progress to getting back to whatever percentage of his regular self he can become? Doubtful it'll be 100% because he is coming off the Achilles injury, but where can he get to? How far can he go? One of the things I want to talk about is that today is basically deadline day, meaning a player has to be cut either by today or by the sometime tomorrow. Within the next 24 hours, I believe, they need to be cut from their team to still be playoff eligible when signing with a new team. I'm sure the Warriors thought Robin Lopez would have been bought out by now, but maybe the reason he hasn't been bought out is because the Warriors aren't sure if they'd sign him. Who knows what the actual situation is? But the bottom line is the Warriors have a 15th roster spot open, and I don't know who they're going to get to fill it. At this point, it looks like maybe Damian Lee, which is fine, but I don't think that helps you in the playoffs at all. I don't know if there's an option out there that could help him in the playoffs. This whole thing, we'll see how it plays out, kind of been a disaster. When you factor in the Pat McCaw situation, when you factor in the fact that they had Alphonso McKinney and Daniel House in training camp, two guys who, both rotation players in the NBA, proved it this year. But instead, Daniel House got let go. They signed McKinney. House is now in the G League for the Rockets because the Rockets want to sign him to a cheap long-term deal. He only wants to do a one-year deal, so he's stuck on a two-way in the G League. So now the Warriors have a open roster spot, a 15th roster spot open, that I don't think they're going to find anyone useful to fill it with. So besides the fact that they've saved some luxury tax money, this has not worked out well at all. At all. So we'll see what happens in the next 24 hours, next month or whatever. Maybe they find some European player to sign to the 15th roster spot and he can come in and play well. But as of now, hasn't worked out well. It's been a miss. It's been a big miss. League pass picks for tonight. 6 games. A couple of good ones on the schedule here. Warriors Magic, we'll see how it goes. But the two headliners for me are Jazz Nuggets. Obviously, Jazz are in the 6th seed, taking on the 2 seed Nuggets, who are only a half a game behind the Warriors. That's another thing that I didn't really mention, is the Nuggets are right on their tail, man. Like, the Warriors are either going to get the 1st or 2nd seed, because they got, I think, 4.5 games on the Thunder right now. But that 1 seed is not locked up. They need to lock in and play better and continue to win to hang on to that 1 seed, because the Nuggets are a half game behind. A half a game. Nuggets win tonight, Warriors lose. Nuggets are the 1 seed. with what, like 20 games left to play. Sixers Thunder should be a good one. Joel Embiid is going to be out, I believe, so a little less spice to this game. But these two teams do hate each other, so I'm down to watch it. Those are League Pass picks for tonight. Be sure to check out the Warriors game taking on the Magic, and I will have another podcast for you tomorrow. And it's called Locked On Warriors on the Locked On Podcast Network.
You can't climb a mountain if it's smooth, right? You got to go over the rough spots. Peace.
You are Locked On Warriors, your daily podcast on the Golden State Warriors. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.